I want us to consider this morning this question on the screen: can we understand the Bible? Seems like maybe a silly question, but it's an interesting one when we are studying the Bible, whether with others or with ourselves, and we come across some difficulty in understanding what it is that we're reading and the subject that we're trying to understand. And so I'd like for us to look into God's Word and see what we can find and what He had to say about this question. Many religious people claim that the average person cannot understand the Bible even on the subject of salvation. There are several reasons why people claim that the Bible cannot be understood. When studying the Bible, they found it difficult, like I mentioned a moment ago, and so they give up. That's why some people will claim that it can't be understood. Others may point to the confusion and the division among the religious world, among those who claim to follow the Bible, and so they conclude that no one really understands it. In a sense, you might say, well, that's almost a valid point. When you look at the world around us, whether denominations or those of other within the church, and there's a lot of things going on, a lot of ideas, and there's a lot of confusion and a lot of division. And so you might see, well, yeah, I might see how people cannot really understand it. Some believe that the truth is subjective. And so whatever you believe, then that's the truth for you. Some religious leaders claim that common people or the average person cannot understand the Bible, and only trained leaders can understand. And we might think of some denominations that they have, the leader, the Catholic denomination is big in that. You come to me and I will tell you what it says. And that was kind of my thought behind this. The purpose of this lesson is to show by the Bible that the average person can understand God's Word, and we can understand and we can know God's will for man. If the Bible is God's Word, then it must harmonize with His nature, that is, with God's character. When we study the Bible and when we understand God's nature, then we must believe that we can understand the Bible. To claim that we cannot understand the Bible is to deny that it is God's Word. And so the following aspects of God's character that we're going to look at are going to prove that we can know and we can understand the Bible. And the first of all is God's wisdom and power demands that the Bible be understandable. God revealed His Word through inspired men, as we have it for us today, for the purpose of making known His will to all men. So God used these men that wrote the Bible for the purpose of making known His will to us. And let's look at these scriptures together. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. In Titus chapter 1, that is. In Titus chapter 1, the first three verses, beginning in verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of the chosen God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised long ago, but at the proper time manifested even His word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. The word was entrusted to Paul, and God made His word known through him as well as others. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 1, Romans 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for there is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. God wants everyone to know His will. Just based on these verses alone, and there's many more that we're going to look at, but we can see that He wants His will to be known. He needs His will to be known because of His plan and His purpose for mankind. The inspired man revealed His word so that people could understand it and that people knew it. The very words in the Bible were chosen by God. We might, we think of the God-breathed words through the inspired men. Paul wrote it, but they were actually words of God. They were words of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." Inspired men received God's Spirit so they could know what God revealed and could speak them in words which the Holy Spirit taught them. And we can know them. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, "But when they deliver you up, do not become anxious about how or what you will speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to speak. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." The inspired man did not have to worry about what to speak, because it would be the Spirit of God speaking through them. If we cannot understand His message, then God has failed in His purpose for mankind. If we truly cannot understand what it is that He has written for us, then He has failed. Another thing here is God's justice, grace, and love demands that the Bible be understandable. Justice is a quality by which God treats man fairly in accordance with whether they have or have not done His will. So that would be the justice of God. The love of God is a quality by which God actively shows goodwill toward men, seeking our well-being. And then the grace of God, interesting, we were talking about this morning in our class, is the quality by which God shows favor to men that they might have the hope of eternal life, though they do not deserve it. That unmerited favor, that idea of grace. We have seen that God has revealed His will through inspired men, so people could know what He expects of them. So if it cannot be understood, then the question is God really a just God, or a God of love and a God of grace? God commands and requires men to understand His word, and we know this. And so if he requires this of us, if He expects us to understand His word, then is it or is it not possible for us to understand His word? It's a rhetorical question, but He expects us to understand it, therefore we can. Let's look at these verses here. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We are to understand what God's will is for us. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." And this is going to come into play a little bit later in the lesson, but this idea of being diligent and what is required of us. But be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of God. And that's what we have to do, is handle it accurately. And if we're expected to handle it accurately, then we would be expected to know it. Hebrews 11, verse 6, talked about faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Romans 10, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing God's word. And so if we're expected to have faith, then, but the faith comes from hearing God's word, then once again, we ought to be able to understand His word for us. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 14, Mark chapter 7, in verse 14, and after He called the multitudes to Him again, He began to say to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand." And so He, and we could go into all this, but it makes the point that He's expecting them, He's going to speak, and He's expecting them to understand the things that He is about to speak. It appears that the multitude would be referenced as a common person back then. He's not speaking necessarily to His apostles or anybody. It's a multitude. So these people, He expected them to be able to hear the things that He is speaking and to be able to understand those things. And also here in Luke chapter 8, let's just look at this one. They're both really similar. In Luke chapter 8, speaking of the gospel as the seed of God, it's the seed of God's word. And the parable is this, that the seed is God's word. And let's keep reading. And those beside the road are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes the word away from their heart, so that they do not believe, they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, yet have no firm roots. These believe for a while, and in time of temptations, they fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns are those who are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And the seed on the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word, and in an honest and good heart hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. The point of all that is that the seed of the gospel is God's word, and it is able to produce the knowledge that man that we are required to know. God commands and requires all His people to understand His word, and we must understand to have His approval and to have faith. In order to have faith, we've got to understand what it is that we're reading so that we can believe it and have that faith. Yet how can God be a just, loving, and gracious in these requirements if understanding His word is impossible? Now, a lot of times what people will say is, well, as long as we just understand, some people refer to it as the core things, or we just understand the salvation part of it and what it takes to be saved. But what's interesting is, don't we need to know all of God's word in order to know what to be saved? Because it's not just believing, having the faith, and being baptized and we're saved. It's everything else in life that's going to keep us out of the kingdom of heaven. We need to understand the whole of God's word. God will judge men and will reward them eternally according to their obedience to His word. In John chapter 12, in John 12 and verse 48, in John 12, 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him, and the word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." The word I have spoke will judge him in the last day, and we need to understand and be diligent to understand what that word is that we are going to be judged by. In Acts chapter 17, in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man who has been appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. God commands men everywhere to repent. But how do we know? Again, it just comes back to the understanding and the knowledge that we need to have of God's will in order to know what we are repenting from. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And it's interesting that we're going to be judged, and people are going to pay the penalty of eternal destruction. But shouldn't we be able to know and understand what it is that we need to do in life and how we ought to live our lives in order to avoid the penalty of eternal destruction? All men will be judged according to God's word. Those who do not obey the gospel will be destroyed, and ignorance will be no excuse. God revealed His word to give us knowledge of what we must obey. If we cannot understand the message, we have no choice but to be ignorant and to disobey if we don't understand it, if it's impossible. How can God be just and condemn people for disobeying or being ignorant of a message that is impossible to understand? How can He say that He really loves us and extends His grace to save us if we cannot understand the only means by whereby we can be saved? To say that we cannot understand God's word is to deny the justice, the love, and the grace of God. Yet, if we believe in God's justice, love, and grace, then we must conclude that we can understand God's scriptures. And I know that all of us do believe in these things, and we believe that we can understand the scriptures. Another point here on God's character is that God's truthfulness and faithfulness demand that the Bible be understandable. In 2 Timothy 3, this time in verse 15 through 17, 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 15, and from that childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God be adequate, equipped for every good work. The scripture makes us wise into salvation, and they're profitable for all things. In 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 33, 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 33, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. If it was not possible for man or for us to understand the things that He's written and the things that He's requiring of us, then that would make God an author of confusion. But here it says that He's not an author of confusion, which proves that we can understand God's word. We can understand it because He's not a God of confusion. To deny that the Bible can be understood is to deny that God is truthful and faithful to His word. But if we believe that God is truthful and faithful, then we must believe that we can understand the Bible. And God is truthful, and He is faithful, and we can understand it. Let's move on to another point here. In the Old Testament, demonstrates that the Bible can be understood. And I've got a number of verses for us in the book of Psalms. He gave the Old Testament for the purpose of revealing His will, and then He promised that men could understand it. He told them, you can understand my will and my insight. Let's turn over to Psalm 119. and we read a number of these verses. Psalm 119, verses 98 and 99, the commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Down in 104 and 105, for thy from thy precept I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And then in Psalm, in verse 130 here, the unfolding of thy word gives light that gives understanding to the simple. God's word gives us understanding and makes us wiser, which shows that we can understand God's word. In Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. In Psalm 19, not 119, but 19 now. Beginning in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. So how could the law do any of these if people could not understand? If people could not understand the word. Even people in the New Testament times were capable of understanding the Old Testament, and were expected to do so. We think of Paul, we think of Peter, we think of Christ, we think of the Sadducees. They should have known. They did, and some of them didn't, even though they should have. In Acts chapter 17, as was Paul's custom, what was the first thing that he did when he entered a new city? In verses 2 and 3, and according to Paul's custom, he went to them for three Sabbaths, reasoning with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying that this Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ. So he's reasoning from the Scriptures, which is the Old Testament, and he's showing Christ from the Old Testament Scriptures. And he was able to understand those things. In verse 11, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They were reading from the Old Testament in order to, just like Christ said, listen to me and understand. Well, these people were listening to Paul and were able to go back to the Scriptures and to see whether what he was saying was according to the Scriptures. They were able to understand the Scriptures. They were able to understand the Old Testament in this case and be able to make a discernment, basically, as to what Paul was speaking, whether it was true or not. In Matthew 22, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not understanding the Scriptures or the power of God. And just it just, again, makes the point that he expected them to know the Scriptures. He said, you're mistaken, and you're not understanding the Scriptures. But he expected them to understand the Scriptures, but they did not understand it. And he held them accountable for not knowing those things. So then, let's move on to this, our final point here. Why then do so many people not understand the Bible? And perhaps you can think of some reasons yourself as to why maybe you have struggled in the past of understanding something, and why didn't you quite understand it. You might think of others, situations we've been in. I've got 3 points for us to consider, and I'm sure they're nothing new. The first one is a big one, perhaps the biggest one, and that is a lack of study. It's a lack of study, and it's a lack of understanding. It's a lack of understanding God's word. But in order to understand any subject in life, what must we do? It takes some time within that subject to research it and to read it and to study it and speak with others about it, and so that we can increase our knowledge on that subject. Well, when it comes to God's word, it's the same thing. In order to understand anything in God's word, we've got to read it, we've got to look at all the verses, perhaps talk to other people about it, and come to an understanding of what it says. It requires diligence, like we mentioned earlier in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Once again, the example of the Bereans, that they search the scriptures daily. You might ask ourselves, after I'm done, or after Larry preaches a lesson, or after a class, do we take the time to study out, continue to study out the things that were said? That's what the Bereans did, and it's a good example for us to do so, to study the scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15 speaks of that diligence and the attitude that we are to have to handle the Bible properly. We must exercise diligence in order to be approved by God. Without diligence and perseverance of studying, we will not know. We will not know, and we will not understand God's word. People can know the truth, and the Bible can be understood, but we need to study it diligently. Those who do not study, like I just mentioned, will not understand it. If we don't study, we're not going to get it. But it's not. I mean, whose fault is it, right? It's their own fault, and people might try to put the blame on others, but that ultimately is not. It's not the case. It ultimately is our own fault if we do not understand something. Matthew 22:29, as we read earlier, in regard to the Sadducees, they did not understand the scriptures, and Jesus was not pleased with them. They were in error because of their lack of understanding. They should have known. And Hebrews 5, let's read this together. This is in Hebrews 5, we're back, start in verse 11, actually. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach to you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. There's a lack of understanding here. But again, I would come back to whose fault was it? And the Hebrew writer points it on the individuals here, that there comes a time that we grow and we mature. But in this case, they're being rebuked because they were not where they ought to have been. And they needed, the solid food is for the mature, because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So the idea of the practice and the diligence that it took to study out God's word is what leads someone to be able to discern the good things, good and evil. Some people do not know the truth, not because it cannot be understood, but simply because they've never studied it, or because they have never been diligent in their study. And I think we're all, perhaps all of us, are guilty of that to some point or another. It takes diligence and to study God's word. Another point here is why do so many people not understand the Bible? And another point I thought of here was false doctrines. things that are not true regarding God's word, blinded by false teaching that comes from preachers, whether it perhaps our own, other preachers that we know of. It could be preachers that we listen to online. There's a lot of false doctrine out there, and people become blinded by that sort of thing. Also from our family, perhaps situations of our family, from our friends, same idea, or denominational creeds. There's a lot of denominations that have their statement of faith, and people just adhere to that list as to what, that this is what I believe, and they really have no idea what it's saying. They can read what it says, but they don't know the depth of it, and oftentimes the denominational creeds are not, they're not according to God's word anyways. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15, beginning in verse 8, the people, these people honor me with their lip, but their heart is far away from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. And then down in verse 14, let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if a blind man guide the blind man, both will fall into a pit. If we are following blindly, and the idea of following blindly is we put no effort in on our part to know what it is that we're following. Somebody says something, we agree with it, but we can't necessarily defend it for ourselves. You know, we ought to be able to defend our hope that is within us to anyone who asks. Yet, a lot of times we can't because we've never studied it out. We are just following something that one man says or someone says without really knowing what it is that we're following. That's the idea of following blindly. If we follow blindly, we will be lost, just like those who are teaching the false things. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 comes back to mind to research the things that are said, just to make sure that what it is that we're hearing is according to God's word. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ, even though we are an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As I said, as we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you receive, let him be accursed. The people here were turning away from Christ because of the influence of people who were perverting the gospel. That idea of influence, it goes back to people who are blinded by certain people, preachers, friends, a family, and a lot of times it has to do with the influence of those people. We have a lot of respect for these people, therefore we just accept what they say without actually studying it and searching it out for ourselves. And that's the point here that Paul is making to the churches of Galatia, that they were quickly deserting the Lord for a different gospel, even though it sounded very similar, perhaps, whatever it was. But he says, you know, to let him be accursed. If it's a different gospel than what they've heard before, then let him be accursed and don't follow along with it. A final point here is why so many people do not understand the Bible. Perhaps these are my three thoughts anyways. And the last one is the idea of having a closed heart, or being closed-minded. And people often close their hearts and their mind. In Matthew chapter 13, in Matthew 13, beginning of verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand, and you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of these people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and they have closed, and they hear with their ears, and the understanding with their heart, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. The people often close their eyes and their ears to the truth. Why? Well, they might be prejudiced. They may have believed a certain way for so many years. They were grown up a certain way in a household that believed something. Things that perhaps were practiced in the home. And so it's just the way it's always been. So they refuse to consider the evidence for other views. Perhaps they may be too proud to admit that they're wrong, which is a hard one for all of us. As a result, they reject the truth when they hear it. They reject the truth because of their pride. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, a couple more verses here. In 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 10, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence that they might believe what is false, in order that they may all be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. Some people do not love the truth enough because they have pleasures in unrighteousness. And they will believe a lie and be condemned. Some people get so wrapped up in the pleasures of this world, whatever it is. There's lots of things we can think of. But those pleasures are the things that we hang on to and are a driving factor in our life. And people don't want to give that up. They love the pleasures of the wickedness more than the truth of the gospel and the truth of God. In John 8, in John chapter 8, beginning of verse 43, and why do you not understand what I am saying? Now it is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks, he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin if I speak the truth? Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. It's interesting. I'll just read what I said. They did not understand because they wanted to do the desires of the devil. When he speaks of the Father here in verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and that's who he's speaking of here. That some people just enjoy sin and so entangled in it that they refuse to accept the truth when they hear it. People desire the pleasures of this world and the pleasures of the flesh, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life more than the love of God and wanting to be in the truth with Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. And people seek preachers and religious groups that will accept them so that they continue in their sinful practices. Don't we know, perhaps you might know some people that way, that people will keep, you hear the term like church shopping, church hopping, church shopping, kind of same idea, that they're trying to find a group that fits them. So they have their own behavior, their own character, the things that they enjoy in life, and they're trying to find a group, a religious group, because they want to go to church. they feel like, yep, we got to do this. So they're trying to find a group that fits their lifestyle, as opposed to conforming, you know, their life to what the scriptures say. And that's this idea that in verse 3, that they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. So they're finding people, they're finding teachers, they're finding a group of people that will satisfy their own needs, as opposed to being interested in God's word and what His will is. Those who have closed their hearts and minds to God's word don't understand His word, because they simply don't like what it says. They don't like what it says. If we are to accept the truth, then we must hunger and thirst after righteousness. We must honestly study what God's word says, then accept the truth with meekness and with readiness of mind. So in conclusion, if God is an all-wise and all-powerful God, then you can understand His will. If God is just, loving, and gracious, then you can understand His will. If He is truthful and faithful, then you can understand His will. His promises and the example shown in the scriptures reassert that we can know how to live our lives on earth to be pleasing to Him and to know how to be saved. Never try to excuse yourself from doing what God word requires on the ground that you cannot know what He wants. If the scripture requires you to know a thing to be saved, then you can know, but you must study diligently with an honest and an open heart. So that's my thought for us this morning, and hopefully it's been helpful for us to consider these things, that it is possible for us to understand and to know God's word simply by reading it and by studying it, by having a desire to know and understand His will for us. So if there's anyone here this morning that has a need of the congregation, let's let that be known now while we stand in.